Hey, good morning to you. I'm telling you, I'm ready for today. And I need to be ready for today because after services, jumping in the van, going to Tennessee with our group from Senior Saints. Some of you here? No, you're supposed to say, yeah, I'm here. There you go. Yeah, there's a few of them here. We're taking off. Last night at home, we were doing our thing around the house and outside. And I kind of stretched out about 7 o'clock. Next thing I knew, I'm here this morning. I mean, man, I am rested. I am raring to go. So I'm looking forward to the day. And really, I've been looking forward to this morning. Let me start by telling you a little story that I think kind of illustrates where we're going. You know, sometime back, bad flood in this one particular place. And, you know, this lady, she didn't really understand how bad it was going to get. And, you know, finally her house started flooding and she ended up on the roof of the house. You know, just wanting to be rescued. And while she was up there, you know, waiting for to be rescued, finally one of the firemen was let down. He got on the roof with her, and they were waiting for the helicopter to come to take them away. And while they were sitting there, they saw somebody's house float by. And then in a minute, they saw a car float by. You know, and they're like, oh my goodness, this woman's scared to death. And yes, yeah, so it's okay, we're going to get you out of here. And then all of a sudden they saw this hat float by. And they watched it, and then it got down next to the, and then it turned around and started floating back up. And then it turned around and it floated back down. And then it turned around and floated back up. And what in the world's going on? Finally, the fireman asked the lady, said, what is it with that hat? And she said, oh, that's nothing. She said, that's my husband, Bob. He said he was going to mow the grass come hell or high water. Now I want you to know I've been debating whether or not to tell you that joke for a week, all right? For those of you who are at the lighthouse, I told it there and everybody seemed to laugh, so I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go for it, all right? You know, now what in the world does that have to do with anything? Let me tell you something. It illustrates something really, really important. A lot of times we're doing something while our house is floating away. You know, when you're talking about Recovery Road and the need for recovery, you know, we said last week and before that we all need recovery. You know, we all have hurts and habits and hang-ups. And a lot of times we get so caught up in doing something else that we watch our life float away. So in reality, what I want to do with you today is I want to continue talking about this idea of how we get and stay on this road. If you remember, we started last week, we're doing this acrostic with the word recovery. Last week, we started with the word realize and how important it is that we realize that we need God, that we need a higher power. Remember, we even said that we need to realize that we're not God. And that we need to make sure that we understand that He's there to help us. That we live in an imperfect world. That we are imperfect people. And that we need a perfect God. And regardless of your problem, regardless of your hurt or your hang up or your habit, you know, we need to make sure that God is a big part of what we're doing. So let's go on. The R was realized. The E is earnest. Or earnestly. Here's the passage of the day, and I love this. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those. Now think about this for a minute. He rewards those who... Now, before I show you exactly what this verse says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, I want you to think about that. You know, we need to realize that we need God and that we need to come to Him. And the promise is that anybody that comes to Him, anybody that accepts God as being real, has Jesus Christ living in their heart, that if we believe that He exists, that He's going to reward us with something. But look at this, folks, because this reward really depends on us earnestly seeking him. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, because here's the point. It's really easy to live life in denial of God. And in denial of living and understanding and believing that he exists. You know, I think there was an old song, an old country song some time back about, the Nile's just not the river in Egypt, right? It's something more than that. Did you ever hear the story about the guy that put the ad in the paper? And let me read it to you so I don't get it wrong. And the ad said, "Lost, a three-legged dog, blind in right eye, left ear missing, broken tail, recently castrated, answers to the name of Lucky." You know, there's some people out there that are just living in denial. Here's the thing, though, folks. What we find out in recovery, or when we refuse to live a life in recovery, what God brings about is He helps us with these things in life that will help us to overcome or to get rid of denial. They're the three C's. Let me put them up here and show them to you. They're crisis and confrontation, and sometimes even catastrophe. Anybody gone through a crisis lately? Illness, stress, losing a job. You know, some of our great friends here have just gone through this strike with Verizon. By the way, it's over. Did you know that? Did you hear that? Praise the Lord. But a lot of times what happens is that crisis comes in, and we think it's God's way of punishing us, but really it's just God's way of showing us how much we need him. Or how about confrontation? Anybody? God sent anybody into your life to confront you? Somebody that loves you enough to say that you're blowing it? Somebody who loves you enough to say, listen, you're missing out. You're about to lose your family. You're about to lose your health. You're about to lose your job. You know, somebody that cares enough to tell you the truth about where you are living. Did you ever hear the old Texas saying that said, if somebody calls you a horse's rear, ignore it? But if two people calls you a horse's rear, look in the mirror. Right? I mean, if somebody cares about us enough to do that, or how about catastrophe? You know, wow, I hope he doesn't use that in your life. I mean, when literally the bottom falls out, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relational. When the bottom falls out and you hit rock bottom, and you may try to correct it, you may try to overcome it, but that's the point that you get when you really need God. Sometimes we can manage crises. Sometimes we can even overcome or ignore confrontation. Sometimes a catastrophe comes our way, and we have to do something different. Now, here's the thing, folks. This is where the second step comes in. This is where the second step comes in, because there is something that we can get, that we can have, that will help us with this. There is a power that will help us to overcome. That's the good news. There is a power that we can plug into that'll help us to handle our difficult circumstances in life. You see, that's why it's so important that we earnestly believe, that we earnestly seek God, knowing that God loves me, that I matter to him, and living a life that shows that God matters to me. That's what Hebrews 11:6 is saying. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's jump in and talk about some steps here, some parts. There's three different parts, I think, to this second step. You know, three steps, if you will, that we need to take. Here's the first one. We need to make sure that we acknowledge that God exist. You do realize that your attendance here this morning pretty much meets this particular requirement. You know, I read recently, and I didn't realize this. I would have thought just the opposite is true. But there are fewer atheists today than there were 50 years ago. I thought it would almost be different than that. But Gallup did a survey just a couple of years ago and said that 96% of the people in America said that they believe in God. Now, don't ask them what kind, okay? But they believe in a higher power. Less than 2% of the people identified themselves as being a atheist. You know why I think that is? I think it's simply because we think that science has taken us further away from God than in reality. He says the opposite is true. Science has proven that there almost has to be a God. Because if you follow science out to its logical conclusion, you know, what's that first cause? Well, we say that it is God. Matter of fact, Time magazine put on their cover about 3 years ago, "Science Discovers God." I almost think that those kinds of headlines are more of a declaration of a desire than any kind of concrete discovery. Because I think that everybody, deep within their soul, they acknowledge that there is a God. Romans 1:20, you're very familiar with that, aren't you? I love it. "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen." I mean, the Bible says that if we want to understand the reality of God, just walk outside. Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Matter of fact, did you know that the Bible says that it's foolish if you don't believe in God? It's irrational, it's illogical not to believe in God. I mean, we have all kinds of bases in order for us to believe in God, that He exists. You see, the existence of God is a reality for almost everybody. The real question is what kind of God is He? Did you ever hear the story about the two little delinquent boys in the Catholic school? And they had just gotten in all kinds of trouble. And finally, the priest decided that, you know what, these little kids need more than anything else is just a real healthy dose of the fear of God. So they brought the little boys in, and they decided to talk to them separately. And the priest set him down, one of the little boys down in the office, said, "Now, Jimmy," said, "where's God?" And he wanted this kid to understand that God was here and there and inside of him. And the little boy said, "I don't know." And he said, "No, little Jim, you know, where's God?" And he really grilled this little kid on the existence of God. And finally, he let him go, and he's going to bring the other little boy in. The little boy went out, and he told his little friend, he said, "Be careful in there, because evidently God is missing, and they think me and you had something to do with it." I mean, an awful lot of people, they don't know where God is. They don't know really what He's doing. And even though they may believe in Him, they don't live like He has anything for them. Matter of fact, Rick Warren said that a lot of times people look at God in the same way they look at their parents. And if you have an aloof relationship with your parents, that in many ways that's the same kind of relationship that you'll develop with God. You know, if you have a domineering and a, you know, an overbearing and, you know, a really critical parent, that's the way you view God. Or if you have a parent that just lets you do anything and there's no rules and there's no boundaries, that's the kind of way that you look at God. See, so it's not about if there is a God. We need to acknowledge God's existence. But here's the second thing, and it's really crucial, and that is that we have to understand God's character. I mean, to earnestly seek Him, to receive the blessing because we earnestly seek Him. We have to acknowledge His existence, but we also have to understand His character, what He's really like. I mean, because until I know what God is really like, I mean, can I trust Him? If I don't know what God is really like, does He ever make sense? I'm not going to trust someone or something that I don't know. And fortunately, God wants to help us in knowing what He's like. Now think about this for a moment, but folks, how important this is. If you're a parent here today, if some stranger were to ask your child, "Tell me about your dad," would it be easy for them? You know, if a stranger asks your children, "You know, what's your mother's name? Tell me about your mom. What kind of person is she?" I would hope that our kids could not just talk about that, "Yeah, I have a parent and they live at this place and this is their address and this is where they work." Not to just talk about our physical existence, but to tell people about our heart and about our love and about our devotion as a parent to them as our children. You see, God wants this for us. He kind of tells us about it in Colossians chapter 1 when he says Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. I mean, the Bible says that if you want to know God, you need to get to know Jesus. That Jesus is an exact representation of God's heart and God's love for me. Matter of fact, Rick Warren, writing a little article about this, he talks about how God can help us with our habits and our hurts and our hang-ups by understanding that God wants us to know His character. And He wants us to know His character because of these three things. Think about it. God knows about my situation. He knows my habits. He knows my hurts. He knows my hang-ups. He knows the good and He knows the bad. I mean, think about it. Some of you have had a tough week, a tough month. Maybe some of you here today have said, "You know what, I've had a tough life, Pastor John." But God knows that. He knows all about that. The Bible says that God knows you up close and personal. Nobody knows what I'm going through, maybe you say. Well, God does. The Bible says that He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knew you before the day that you were created in your mother's womb. Before your days ever began, God knew the number of them and what you would do. He knows what you need even before you ask it. So God knows about our situation. But here's the second thing that Rick says that I think is so beautiful. Because not only does God know about our situation, but God cares about our situation. I mean, God's heart breaks for what we are going through. Listen to Psalm 103. He is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic, for He knows that we are made of dust. I mean, God knows every molecule within our being. He knows our frailties and He knows our strengths. He knows our tendencies. That's the kind of God we have. He knows us. He knows what we're going through. And He's literally going to help us along the way. But here's the thing, folks. Not only does God know, not only does God care, but God can change our situation. I mean, God can change our situation. You know, I had an interesting conversation with a neighbor recently. I was out in the yard. He was out in the yard, and just out of the blue, he said, "Pastor John," he said, why do we pray?" I said, "Well, we pray to tell God how much we love Him and tell Him what we're struggling with and tell Him what we need." And he said, "Well, if God knows everything, if God knows everything before we even say it, then why do we have to pray?" You know, I thought, good question. You know, maybe Arlene will be out in the yard later and you can ask her. I mean, that is a good question, isn't it? And you know, the answer to that is kind of bound up in all of this. I mean, sure, God knows. Sure, God cares. But God wants to change our situation, and He does that mostly in wanting to change us. Paul said this, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. And that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to me and to you. I mean, let me ask, are you ever paralyzed in your life by procrastination? You know something that you need to do. You know something that you want to do. You know something that you need to get started doing. But you just can't bring yourself to begin. Well, listen, folks, we need to understand that if God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he can raise a dead relationship. He can raise a dead person back to health. He can raise somebody that's caught in addiction back to a place of wholeness, and in life. And he can help you. You know, sometimes we're just paralyzed by starting, but knowing that God can bring it about. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18 says, what is impossible for me is possible with God. And folks, if we believe that as Christians, then this road to recovery can be a beautiful thing. So think about this, folks. Acknowledge God's existence. Understand God's character, that he knows you, that he cares about your situation, that he wants to help change your situation, that his power can be released in us. Then the only thing that's left is for us to accept. It's for us to accept God's offer to help. You know, I had a beautiful, beautiful moment yesterday. I went in the afternoon. It was so warm and it was kind of hot. And I thought, man, I want to go down to the river. And so I went down to the river and waited a while and was fishing. The river was a little bit too muddy to really do much of anything. And so I found myself up on the rails to trails down near Bob and Jan's house. And, you know, I'd walked about 300 or 400 yards down the trail and I was drudging back to my car. And I sat down on a bench. One of the benches on the side there. It was amazing. I had probably 15 or 20 people go by me. I looked the way I could see way down to the right, and as I was watching, I saw this bicycle come into view, and I could tell that it was a seasoned veteran on the bike, okay? A man. And he was flying. He was moving, and he was coming pretty fast. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to say anything, I'm going to say it really fast, because he's going to go, whoa, be by me. And as he got close to me, what I noticed, he was on a tandem bicycle. He was on a tandem bicycle, and there was a equally seasoned female on the back. And I thought, man, she is really pushing him. Okay, he's doing all the steering, but he's got that extra person to help him. And they were just, whoa, and they flew by me. And I thought, you know what, I want to get a tandem bike for me and Arlene that only has one set of pedals on the back. Right? You know, think about it. I mean, that's kind of what we're like. We're on a tandem bike, you know, and we're on that bike with God. We're going to let him drive. We're going to let him steer. We're going to get on the back, and all we're going to do is hold on and pedal. And wherever God wants to take us, whatever he wants to do is okay with me. You see, that's what God wants to do for you. Philippians 2:13 says, God is at work within you, giving the will and the power to achieve his purpose in life. God says willpower on your own is not enough. Good intentions are not enough. We got to allow him to give us the power that we need to recover and to be all that God wants me to be. I mean, think about it, folks. What happens when I open up my life to God? And what happens is that God puts his spirit inside of you. And God will give you strength that you never knew that you had. You know, I know a young man, kind of part of our family here in a certain way. And I know he struggled with some of these things. But recently, I'm talking about in the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen posts by this young man on his Facebook page, and they pop up for me to see. And it's incredible the change that I see. I mean, his words went from, oh, poor, pitiful me, struggling with everything, to now his posts are, you know what, God is great and God is good, and I thank him for this day, and he is awesome. And as I think about that, I wonder about the difference. And the difference is simply that this young man seems to have plugged in to this kind of relationship with God. So really what God is saying is just to believe and receive. Believe and receive. Believe in him and receive the strength and the help that we need in life. So let me just tie this together here. R, realize. E, earnestly seek God. And the steps to that are to acknowledge his existence and to understand his character. And then finally, to accept his offer. Isaiah 43 is an awesome passage. And you know what? I was reading it and I thought, you know, I'm going to put a couple of these verses up on the screen. And I couldn't do it. You know why I couldn't do it? Because the whole chapter is full of strength to help us with exactly what I'm talking about today. So instead of saying Isaiah 43, verse whatever, I'm just saying Isaiah 43. Here, let me just give you just a couple of highlights. Listen to the way he starts. You know, Isaiah, the prophet, you know, prophesying during some of the most troubling and difficult times in the history of God's people, says this, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created me, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Isaac, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." That's just verse 1. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters," you know, fleeing Egypt. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." That's verse 2 and 3. And he continues on, "I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead." Listen to this, verse 4. "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Verse 4 and 5, and it goes on. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to spend some time in Isaiah chapter 43. Because here's what he's saying. Wherever you are hurting today, whatever you are going through today, deep waters, maybe you're here and you feel like that you're going under for the last time. I mean, maybe you're going through the fire right now, the heat's on in your life, and you're not so scared about being burned, you're afraid of being burned up. Are you stuck in a rut? Saying, "I just can't get the power to change. I feel helpless. I feel powerless." There is a higher power that you can plug into. And his name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that name is the name above all names. And that one day at that name, every feet will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know what, folks? The thing is that if you do that now, it makes that day then a celebration. But those that refuse to do that now makes that a day of dread then. So folks, listen, if you want to acknowledge his existence and understand his character and accept his offer, it is there to be freely given to all those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for helping us and giving us hope for our hurts and our hang-ups, our habits. God, help us not to be mowing the yard when our home is washing away. But God, may we be about doing the difficult things now that will set our feet on a solid ground. Father, may we earnestly seek you and know, Lord, that the promise is that you will bless those who earnestly seek you. So, Father, may we seek you. God, if we've been serving you for decades, still, Lord, today may we seek you on a deeper level. If, Lord, we've walked with you for a time and have slid back from that, may today be the day, Lord, that we make that rededication to be close to you again. And, Lord, if there's any of us here today that have never stretched forth a hand of faith towards you, God, may we give you that chance to be the difference that we need in life. Lord, we're all on that road to recovery. And I pray, Lord, that on that road that we will not walk alone or lonely, because we have you and we have each other, that we care about each other that much. Father, may it be so even now as we sing. In Jesus' holy name.